Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. We'd like to start right off today with a quote from Elder Adrian Ochoa, who is the second counselor in the Young Men's General Presidency. And this is from an article he wrote in The New Era from February 2013 entitled Lights, Camera, Action. This is what he says. You've probably heard the phrase, all the world's a stage, from William Shakespeare's famous play, As You Like It. The idea Shakespeare's character was expressing is that we are all performers, acting out roles in the grand play of life. He says, my question to you now is, what is your role in life? Or better still, what do you want your role in life to be? He goes on to quote President David O. McKay, who was the prophet of the church, when he said, thoughts are the seeds of acts and precede them. Elder Ochoa then continues by saying, but what makes your thoughts become the script in your brain? You probably know that our brains are like a computer. You can only output what you have stored on it. If you put in only garbage, then that is all you will ever get out. You need to realize that everything you watch, read, or listen to will help write the script to your life. Recently, we were able to sit down with Rick Eldridge here in the Mormon Channel studio, and we wanted to play a portion of our interview with him for you here today. Are you ready? Here it is. I'd like to welcome a special guest we have in the studio today. I have with us Rick Eldridge, who is the president and CEO of a company entitled Real Works. Rick, thank you for joining us here at the Mormon Channel.
Well, it's great to be here.
We're happy to have you with us. You have a fascinating background in the entertainment and media world. Tell us a little bit about your story.
I started really in music initially, and after recording some albums and touring some, I was in a studio one day working with a symphony in Florida, and the engineer that did the session said, Rick, have you ever thought about scoring film? And I said, no, but I'd love to. So we wound up doing a PBS special called Kingdom of the Dinosaurs, and I did the music for that, and it won a bunch of awards, and so after that, I was kind of hooked on that medium.
Wonderful.
And actually wound up working in production on the back lot at both Universal and Disney Studios, and did first music, then sound design, then mixed the picture, then story editing, and then finally created my own show, and just kind of evolved into that. Our business grew. I think God blessed us greatly there. A company came along and wanted to buy my company. So I said, well, we'll do that. It was an offer you can't refuse,
yeah.
Kind of thing. So I sold the company, and they asked me to stay as president to run the company. And I said, well, let's give that 90 days. In the entertainment industry, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors. And I wanted to make sure that what I was doing was of the same, you know, moral and ethical background
right.
that I was trying to run our company from. After about 30 days, I said, you know, this is not working very well. And I'm going to exercise a 2-year no compete and go away. That really moved me back to Charlotte, which is my original home, and really began a time for me to search about where do I want to be? What do I want to do next? From that came, you know, I used the abilities that I have and the contacts I've made in the industry to really try to make a difference through telling stories and film and television, and began to look for the right projects that would reach a broad audience, but reach that audience with some good moral value messaging that would cause you to think a little, maybe cause you to maybe be inspired by some of the stories that are told, that kind of a thing.
The movie that you've produced that I'm most familiar with is The Ultimate Gift. Will you tell us just a brief, for those who maybe haven't seen The Ultimate Gift, just a brief story of what that movie is about?
Sure. The Ultimate Gift is a fellow played by James Garner. In his 80s, at the end of his life, who he was driven to make all the money he could make and not be poor anymore. And along the way, he let his family kind of go, and he gave them the things they needed, like money, but not the things that they really needed, like his time, like his love, like his involvement in their lives. And so he gets to the end of his life, and he has a totally dysfunctional family who are only after him for what he has to give them, and feels like a failure. He sees a young 22-year-old grandson that kind of reminds him of himself a little bit. Through the series of what he calls gifts, he leaves in his last will and testament this opportunity for this kid to go on a journey and learn about life. And along the way, as he succeeds and gets these gifts, these values and virtues, he'll get what is called the ultimate gift. Of course, the kid thinks, hey, I'll do anything for the money, you know, no big deal. But as Red had hoped. At the end of this, he realizes that it is about life and values and virtues, and he does learn that the ultimate gift really are many more things. And at the end of that, he takes over a philanthropic foundation of several billion dollars that he is now managing and helping to really give and serve and use that money for the use in the community. The moral and value lessons there, which he called gifts, mm-hmm. they were the 12 gifts, were really beautiful and applied to so many areas and aspects of our life, no matter what age we are. So we did that movie and tried to make a film again with my kind of new goals and objective that would reach a broad audience, that would play mainstream, if you will. And I think that it does relate in a general market very well. But it's so great to have people of faith and faith communities that support and undergird what we do to make things successful and make things happen. It's great to be able to tell a story like this for the world, for everyone to hear, but know that you've got some people that are kind of cheering you on behind the scenes. We're excited to be here. I mean, Salt Lake City, as we asked 20th Century Fox, you know, where the top markets that our movie sold in DVD, this was number two in the nation.
Wow.
Which was kind of interesting to look at. But then I said, you know what? There's a lot of really strong family values and relational equity that's built in that community around faith. And, you know, I get it. I can see why. So it was great to be a part of it.
Where was number one, just out of curiosity?
Number one was Orange County, just south of Los Angeles.
Really?
Probably because there's a gazillion people there. I don't know.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting that those are your top two markets.
Yeah, it was.
But it sends a good message that people are looking for quality entertainment. That's wonderful.
So. Absolutely. It's pretty amazing when you know, a high school professor from Los Angeles, inner city, sends me 50 essays that his students did after they read the book and watched the movie. And he would tell them to pick a gift and do an essay about how that gift relates to your life. And boy, I just sat there with tears in my eyes reading those. Wow. Letters like that that just by the thousands have come in, and it's just overwhelming. But what a joy to be able to make a product that can have that kind of impact.
You know, when you turn on the television at night or you look at the movies that are currently in the movie theaters, it's sometimes difficult to find anything that is clean or is mm-hmm. uplifting. And so I think it's so refreshing that you're out there creating these wonderful films that are so engaging, have a good story, but yet they're uplifting and inspiring at the same time. Was there something in your life or an event or just in general that made you want to go after that and just said, I want to create family-friendly entertainment? Or how did that get started?
Well, it's really kind of just, I think, an outpouring of who I am. I worked in a world where, as the scriptures say, we can be in the world but not of it. I did that for a lot of years, you know, at Universal and at Disney. And I would kind of just do my thing. I didn't try to, you know, beat anybody over the head with a Bible or anything.
Yeah.
I just kind of said, let what I do hopefully open up a conversation with someone else. So that was kind of a natural part of who I was. And so once I kind of left that business and began to look at what I was going to do next, it was real natural to say, you know what? I started writing 3-minute songs that were stories. Now I'm telling 2-hour movies that are stories, mm-hmm. but it's really no different. It's a modern day parable. Most of what we learn in scripture is parable based. We hear stories about, you know, this happened to this man and he had to make a decision and this is the decision he made. We're telling stories the same way that hopefully people can begin to be inspired by and maybe even think a little deeper about, you know, what can I do to maybe change or course correct some things in my own life.
So tell us what you're working on now, what you've got up your sleeve these
days. Well, we were so excited about the responses from The Ultimate Gift that Jim Stovall happened to write a few more books. There were two books, The Ultimate Life and The Ultimate Journey, which were a continuing story of Red Stevens and his family. We actually took both of those books and created what we call The Ultimate Life, which just picks up right where Ultimate Gift left off. And then through the device of a journal, we actually go back in time to the 1940s, and we see young Red Stevens at 15, post-Depression era, who basically says, I'm tired of being poor. We see him with a drive to become a billionaire. He's tired of his situation and he's going to do what he can do to get out of it. Along the way, he meets a lot of mentors, a lot of people that that help him. But those lessons kind of go by the wayside initially because he's got one goal and it's to make $1 billion. Through the course of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, he makes his money. But then he gets to the end of that and realizes that there's a lot more than money, that he's empty, he's alone, and he's got a goal, but that goal has brought him just all the stuff that he needs, but not the satisfaction and just the inner peace that he needs. Mm-hmm. So through some things that happen in the movie, which hopefully you'll see and you'll get them. I'm not going to give you the story. he finds some course correction and really does, discover that some things are worth more than money, is kind of the byline of the movie says. Mm.
And so this second movie, The Ultimate Life, opens in theaters tomorrow, right?
That's right, September 6th.
And does it open in select theaters in the United States, or where exactly does
it
open?
It's not a 3,000 screen wide release that you can stumble over on every corner.
Yeah.
But we're in every major market in the country. We'll be on about 450 screens. If it does well opening weekend, we'll expand that, maybe even double those number of screens. Everything really revolves around that opening weekend and how people respond to that. And that really is where it kind of makes it or breaks it in our industry. It's a big weekend for us.
I don't know if a lot of people know this, but opening weekend is what basically sends a message to Hollywood that this movie is successful. It can handle the screens.
Right.
Do you want to tell us how that works?
There are very elaborate accounting systems where you can literally by minute tell how many tickets got bought. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. These systems that are now in place across the theaters in America. So, they watch that very closely. And, it's a business like anything else. And they're there to sell tickets because that's what they do. So many people come up to me and say, why don't we have more movies like The Ultimate Gift or Ultimate Life that we're releasing now? And I tell them, you get to vote. If you go support this movie and come out and buy tickets, we can have more movies like this because Hollywood will say, people like these movies, and they'll make more of them or they'll distribute more of them like mine. I kind of put it back on us, as the consumer. We get to vote and we vote with our time and our money.
That's a great way to say it. It's wonderful to have a movie like yours where we can vote for something inspiring and encouraging. I like your films because they're not overtly religious, but they definitely send a message. Do you find it's kind of a balancing act when you're creating
that? Yeah, it is.
That?
And I challenge people with that because, I have people that come and they expect to hear scriptures or to hear something. And I say, I come at this from a position of really wanting to communicate to a wide audience. So we're very careful in how we craft stories. And it allows people to even interpret things maybe in their own way, in some cases of their own life experiences or where they're coming from. But the messages are definitely there. In The Ultimate Life, one of the things is a gift of gratitude, where one of our characters says through the course of the film, well, I'm making a list of the things that I'm grateful to God for. Who could be offended by that? So those kind of things we try to do in a way that, this person might not come to church with you, but I bet they'd go to a movie with you. And perhaps after the movie, you talk about stuff. That's really where I try to come from with our story. So we're very careful what we do and how it's presented in a positive way, but even a negative story. But if it has to be a negative element of a story, there's always villains. There's always, the bad guys. But to tell it in a way that you can relate to in a real world experience. We learn that there are things greater than the possessions we have or the money that we have and the stuff that we kind of consume and clutter around us. So the value of family and friends, I think, very powerful message about friends and the relationship with Red and with Hamilton. So I think there's messages there for everybody. But more than anything, we hope that people will leave inspired, entertained. Absolutely. It's fun to see people laugh at the right places and react and go on that little bit of an emotional roller coaster. That's what you try to do as a storyteller. But at the same time, I think there's something for everyone. So it really is truly something that I think will reach the entire family.
I agree completely. I think it's for everyone to see. Well, Rick, thank you so much for coming onto the Mormon Channel. We're so grateful to have you here. Thank you.
Well, it's great to be here, and I appreciate you guys supporting what we do.
We're excited. Excited to see it. Thank you. We had a fun time interviewing Rick. It's so exciting to see how one person really can make a difference in the world. After our interview with Rick, we took him over to the inside of the conference center. And there was an organist who was just finishing up, and we asked her if she would just play one more song. And the song that she played for us and for Rick, it was our own special little number. She was so nice. was Yesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. So that's the song we wanted to close with today. And this arrangement is featuring Jenny Oaksbaker. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with us, send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.